Have a seat. Turn in your copies of God's Word to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 for our New Testament scripture. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is a gift of God, and we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. But praise God that he has saved us through his Son in changing us and bringing us to life from death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us in the hearing of your word and in my preaching of it. Bless the one who speaks, that it may be the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Work in us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While you are turning to John chapter 5, I am going to read to you a passage that I think brings a bit of spice to the sermon today, and I think is very important for what we are about to say. I will read to you while you're turning to John chapter 5, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them. And flesh had come upon them. And skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, as you've turned to John chapter 5, I'll begin in verse 19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Jesus, you must honor the Son Jesus Christ, because he regenerates the sinner, brings him from death to life, and because one day he's going to resurrect everyone in the graves unto his own judgment. The context of this passage here in John chapter 5, the whole book of John, these words are written that you might have life, that you might believe in the Son, that he is God. That he is God and man, God having come in the flesh to die in the place of sinners like all of you and like me. And in this passage, we see in John chapter 5, his constant conflict with the Pharisees. At the beginning of John chapter 5, we have this healing of this man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. And it says this at the beginning of the chapter. "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades, and these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be healed?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going to another, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Get up, take up your bed, and walk.'" And the Pharisees were mad at him because he healed on the Sabbath day. They hated Jesus because his works were good and theirs were evil, and they were petty. And so they doubted this guy who looked just like you or me. He wasn't walking around 1 foot up off the ground. His countenance was not glowing like Moses. They scorned him and despised him because he came from Nazareth and he was not educated like they were. So here Jesus is saying, you guys, all of you, need to recognize the authority of the Son. And who was that Son? It was him standing in their midst. He was the one who had all authority and power. And they must recognize this powerful authority that is standing in front of him. And this brings us to our passage today, that we, just as the Pharisees had to, we must recognize this authority and honor the Son, because he has the power to regenerate the dead, and he has the power to resurrect the dead unto life everlasting. Look at verse 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Contrast that with verse 28, where he says, an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. So the first one is now here. So what does that mean? Is that talking about the resurrection? No. In verse 25, it's not talking about the resurrection of the dead. It's talking about regeneration. It's talking about being born again. And if you look back on John 3, he speaks about this and how one must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. And it's something that is happening right now. Who is this Jesus? He is someone who has been sent from God. He is someone who is here. And his voice goes out. And those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. It's like that passage in Ephesians 2 that I read to you. That once we were dead, but we have been made alive. How does this process happen? Well, I've given you a hint. I read that passage in Ezekiel. And you look at those dead bones and it gives you that vivid passage. And he makes Ezekiel walk in the midst of this dead army. And the bones are dry. They've been there for a long time. And it's like a huge army of bones. And he says, prophesy to the dead? The dead can't hear. Why would God ask Ezekiel to prophesy to the dead so that they might hear? It is because God has the power to make the dead live. And it is so true of Jesus Christ as well, that when he speaks, he has the power to give you spiritual life when there was spiritual death residing within you. And maybe some of you remember what it was like before you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. What was said in Romans 1 was true of you. You did not like to entertain thoughts of God in your mind. You knew that the judgment was coming, but you convinced yourself somehow that this judgment was not going to come. And you would turn the music up a little higher. You would convince yourself that God is not estranged from you, but that he's your friend. And that all of your enemies are his enemies. And all of your sins are things that he doesn't really care about anyway. And that when you die, God will say, good enough. But God is not like you. And you have deceived yourself if you think this way. You are at enmity with God. You are estranged from him if you do not trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. And you are dead. Just as that man who was seeking physical healing. His legs would not work. He was totally incapable of healing himself physically. The same is true of us spiritually. We have no hope of fixing our spiritual death. We must have help and new life from outside of us. And it comes here from the voice of the Son of God. And it says, those who hear will live. And you may say to yourself, but I'm spiritually dead. How can the dead hear the voice of Jesus? But what is impossible with man, God makes possible. Look at verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. This Son of God, this Jesus, this man who's standing before them, who is God and the Son of God, can give this life to man. Why? For as the Father has life in himself. Before the existence of the universe and all creation, God the Father, God the Son, dwelt in eternity past, completely enjoying one another, completely loving one another. And this divine Trinitarian dance of the Father loving the Son, and the Son loving the Father, and the Son loving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loving the Father and the Son, and glorifying one another from all eternity past into all eternity future, it will be like this. So, as the Father has life in himself and created the universe with the Word, with the Son Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so too the Son of God that is standing right in front of them has this same creating power and can thus cause the dead to live again, can bring those who are under spiritual death and condemnation and regenerate their souls to turn them from haters of God to lovers. Do not think that our Lord Jesus is lacking in power, for he is one with the Father. The two persons are distinct, but the essence is the same. They are one, and because of that union, this Son of God can bring you from death to life. Therefore, give heed to the words of the Son. Honor him and listen. You may say, how do I get in touch with the voice of the Son of God? He has ascended up into the right hand of God the Father. But if you look in your Bibles in Romans 10, it tells you how. It says, how shall they repent who have never heard the voice of the Lord? But unless someone is sent, they will not believe. And unless someone preaches the word to them, they will not believe, according to Romans 10. And it's the word of Christ that causes people to believe. So in some way, when the ordained man of God comes to preach the word of God, it is Christ who speaks through him. This mortal frame that you see here, this fallible person who is preaching the word to you and who has been selected to do so, in some way, through this weak instrument, God, through Jesus Christ, is speaking the word to you right now. Heed his authority, for I am only his messenger, and I have been sent to give you this word that has been entrusted to me to you. Therefore, listen to the word of God. because it is the voice of Jesus Christ. And through it, you can be born anew. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put yourself in the way of the preaching of the word, and the dead will live. Not only must we honor the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he awakens the spiritually dead through regeneration by the preached word of Jesus Christ, but also because there's coming a day when Jesus is going to resurrect the dead for judgment. Look at verse 27. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. In the first couple of verses, it says he's the Son of God. Now it turns around and says he's the Son of Man. Son of God, he comes from God, he is one with the Father, and he's the Son of Man, spoken of in Daniel 7 and alluded to in Genesis chapter 3. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, the curse is pronounced on the serpent for deceiving Adam and Eve. But a promise is given, a gospel promise. The gospel is first announced that from the woman is going to come a man who will crush the head of the serpent, and his heel will be crushed. And since that time, Adam and Eve and Noah and all of God's people, when a child would be born, maybe a question was in their head. Is this the one? Is this the one? And this one who is telling them the truth right in front of them is the one that was prophesied, is the one who has come to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is that Son of Man. And he has united to himself, the divine nature has added to himself a human body and a reasonable soul for the purpose of coming into this world like a man, being under the curse, undergoing the miseries of this life, just like you and me, and ultimately to die on the cross. For the divine nature cannot die, but a human nature. And it is absolutely necessary that this God take on human flesh. And so he has in the person of Jesus Christ. And above anyone, the Son of Man, because of his great mercy and his taking to himself this human body, is going to be honored with the right to judge all of mankind. Verse 28 says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice." It's not over when your body dies. Your spirit lives on. And one day, that same body which is lying in the tomb, which is lying in the ground, it's going to hear. That rotted corpse, those dry bones, are going to get ears that hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And all who are in the tombs shall rise to live forevermore. And this is a great comfort to us who are Christians. It is a hope, a confidence, that though our lost loved ones in the Lord, we shall see again. That with our own eyes and our own ears, we shall hear the voice of the one that our soul loves, Jesus Christ. And with our own eyes, we shall see him. And we shall be happy with the Lord forever and ever. But it is not always happy for others. It is not happy for others who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not been regenerated unto eternal life, who yet remain in their sins and their hatred of God and their excuses. but for them they shall be resurrected unto eternal punishment. And this is why we preach what we preach. This is why preachers warn every man, charging them to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why you must repent, little children, and own the faith of your parents, and own the faith of your grandparents, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is coming a day where there will be a judgment. Look at verse 29. And come out those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. There's a mistake that Christians, and especially Reformed Christians, make, and they make it over and over again. They get confused between justification and sanctification. You are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is not of your works that you were declared righteous before God. It's because of Christ's work. Christ's work, his life and death for you, is the ground of you being declared righteous before God. But the faith that saves is never alone. But if you have been made a new creation in Jesus Christ, if you have been called from death to life by the power of the Holy Spirit, this same Holy Spirit that has raised you from the dead and dwells in you is going to cause you to do good works, not in order that you may be justified, but because you have been justified, because you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, therefore, you will go out and you will do good works. Does it say you'll do a million good works and be the most godly saint that has ever lived? No, it just says you'll do good works. How many? I don't know. You might be saved right before you enter eternity. And that's it. Not many good works there. But the one who is saved will do good works because he's a new creation, because he's a new creature, and because the Holy Spirit has changed and regenerated and called him from spiritual death to spiritual life. These works don't justify you, but you're going to do them. And it says here that Jesus is going to judge, and he's actually going to see good works in the believer's life. Doesn't say how many. Doesn't say how great. Remember back, when we read this here, don't forget everything else that God says in the Bible. Okay? Jesus says, even the faith the size of a mustard seed is able to save you. So you may look at your good works and say, I don't know about this. My good works aren't that great. Of course they're not that great. And you may compare yourself to your neighbor and say, well, my good works aren't as good as that person, so I guess I'm not going to heaven. No. Faith the size of a mustard seed is still faith, still saving faith. Good works tainted with sin are still good works because they are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ looks upon you and the good things that you do, imperfect and small as they are, Jesus reminds us that even somebody who offers a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ has done a great work. So too it is with you. Don't look down. Don't overanalyze your good works. If they are done according to God's commandment, if they come from a heart that loves God, and if you are wanting to glorify God with this, then it's a good work. It's going to happen. It may seem small and insignificant to you, but nevertheless, there it is. And just like when you little children do a piece of artwork and show it to your mom and dad, what do they do with it? They put it on the refrigerator for all to see. It's literally not like the Mona Lisa. But yet, the Father and your mother love you. And they look on this. They say, that's my son. That's my child. Thus, you must honor the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Because it is through His Word, through the preached word, through the spoken words of Jesus Himself, through all of the pastors and prophets in the land that have preached the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, this wonder-working power to save sinners. You must honor the Son Jesus Christ and His word because of its wonder-working power to regenerate sinners like you and to resurrect the dead to an everlasting hope, or those who have not trusted Him to everlasting destruction. Seeing that this is so, what manner of people ought you to be? Seeing that this word preached by Ezekiel brings life from death. Seeing that the Son of Man, who says His words go forth and regenerate the spiritually dead, and that His word is going to go forth and to resurrect those who have done good to everlasting holiness and happiness, and those who have done evil to judgment. What are you going to do? Here's what you can do. Don't run away from God's word, for it is the power of God to save you. You have made a choice today to come and be in front of the preached word of Christ. And it is through me, this fallible servant, that mystically the word of Christ is going forth and is able to save your souls. I ask you to do this. Don't end at coming on the Lord's Day morning if you can help it. Come again on the Lord's Day evening, but because it is the same word of Jesus Christ that is proclaimed, the same word of Christ that is able to resurrect the dead, is going to come here again this evening and preach the word of life to you so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Think about the decisions you make about how you spend your time. I know that there are exceptions that everyone has. I know that everybody has things going in their lives that I have no idea about. Seek your own conscience and be persuaded by your own conscience as what you ought to do. All of you every day have to decide what's more important and what's less important. So if you have the choice and you can be a part of the Bible study, or you can go to a ball game, think inside your own conscience. Which has the power of life? It's the Word of God. Should I dwell among these people, this church, and this fellowship, and be encouraged to live my life according to Christ and His Word, and hear the words of Christ spoken to me? Or do I go in this other direction and do something else? All of you must make those decisions every day, and all of you have your own limitations. Seek your own conscience. Reevaluate your priorities. This is a new year. It's time to do so. And think to yourself, how can I redeem the time the best to put myself in front of this life-giving word? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with you are the words of eternal life. To whom else shall we go? Bless us, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we might repent and believe the words of your Holy Spirit, speaking through the mouth of Jesus Christ, through the mouth of his servant. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.